Welcome to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains. I'm Corby Skinner.
And I'm Jennifer Corning, and we're sharing stories of creative people who live and work in the Intermountain West. For those of us who don't make music, paintings, or poetry, the arts allow us to see the world through another's perspective. Photographer Todd Forsgren communicates his ideas and questions through photography and teaching students at Rocky Mountain College. Today, we'll hear more about what he is trying to share with us through a visual medium.
Todd, welcome to Resounds. You're an artist instructor and chair of the Rocky Mountain College Art Department. Yours is certainly a world surrounded by the practice and study of the world through art. But we'd like to begin this conversation with the evolution to a career in art. I believe you majored in biology in college. How did you become interested in the visual arts? When and how did you decide to make art your life's work?
That's a very good question. Back in high school, I was told that I didn't have much aptitude for art because I couldn't paint or draw or do any of those typical sort of artistic processes, and was in love with bird watching and coral reefs and things like that. And so really thought that I would spend my career as an ecologist. And so when I went to Bowdoin College in Maine from growing up outside of Cleveland, Ohio, I was taking a lot of biology classes and looking at community and ecosystem ecology through the lens of molecular biology, which meant that I got to spend about 1 week outside before spending a year in the lab. But at that time, I met several really influential art professors who sort of encouraged me to develop my artistic eye while I was developing that scientific knowledge. And over the course of several years, I just very gradually at my first job after college, I went to Australia to study purple-crowned fairy wrens, a little tiny species of bird that's endemic to the Northern Territory of Australia. And shortly after I started that job, my PhD student who I was working under dropped out of her program, and so I was out of a job. Started hitchhiking around Australia and was picked up by this amazing artist / anthropologist, and he drove me from the Northern Territory down to Alice Springs and sort of showed me a life that could balance the scientific research and the artistic research that I think oftentimes people think of as opposites, but I think are really complementary to each other. And so it was around that time that I really decided to focus more on art rather than science, and spent a year as a part-time student in Boston studying art at the School of the Museum of Fine Arts, and from there did a couple of different artistic residencies, got a couple of grants, like a Fulbright Fellowship to go to Mongolia, an interesting job photographing architecture in Cuba, and spent a lot of time working in restaurants and retail shops to make ends meet, but kind of eventually put an artistic career together.
What I think's interesting, I did a podcast just the other day, and we were talking about artists and influence of art. And I said my background was always in religious studies, anthropology, literature, and it fueled my interest in art. And I think it's so interesting because I think the best artists have something else fueling their passion, and art is a way to translate that. I looked through your website and I thought it was so interesting for somebody that has a biology and science background and has pictures of birds and landscapes and landfills and a variety of subject matter. But I will say, all of your photographs are beautiful. Somehow you don't let the content or the subject matter become the only thing that's in the photograph. So I'm interested in that marriage of the variety of photos that you take and the composition or the art of all of that.
Yeah, I think that whenever I'm thinking about an artistic project, I'm thinking of some sort of balance between conceptual art and craftsmanship and what that content is and how it relates to my own passions outside of you know, the kind of art for art's sake mantra that that many artists are doing an amazing job at working in today, but it's just never quite been me. And so it's, you know, sort of like a simmering pot of those different ideas and playing around with those different ideas until I come up with something that works. And, you know, each project kind of is a reaction to a previous or contemporaneous project that I'm working on.
So you also write about the effects of climate change and globalization, and all of those essays are also included on your website, and we will have information about your website on our link on YP Radio. But can you explain your thought on using art as a witness or as a way to comment on those things that you're concerned about, such as globalization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we were talking earlier before we started recording about, you know, that Tiananmen Square photograph, Tank Man, and which I made an image that responded to. But I remember when I was 8 years old seeing that photograph and the power of that image. And, you know, I think, you know, with the writing of my essays, there's sort of this intellectualization of these ideas. But the images are visceral and make people feel it, I hope, in emotional ways. And so, you know, I think that's one of the other things I'm really interested in about photography. It's such a combination of an analytic tool, but also an expressive tool. And so the way that I try to play with images, balances those sort of, like science and art as perceived opposites, also the ability to measure versus the ability to feel as perceived opposites, and trying to make images that sort of shake people up and break them out of the everyday and their perception and ideas about what the world is going on, to say, hey, what am I seeing here? How is that functioning? And so that's always really important to me, and something that I think visual imagery and representation are pretty uniquely suited to do well.
I wouldn't say that there are two channels of your photographs, but looking at your website, I did sort of notice there is photographs that are more about social commentary. I think the photographs of community gardens, the photographs of places, people, globalization. And then there's another element that I think of as the biology, the photographs, the pictures of coral, the pictures of the birds. Are those two different channels, or how do they meld together?
You know, as a biologist and an artist, this idea of classification and categorization, and how do we, you know, the kingdom, phylum, order, genus, species, kind of like how do we separate the creatures of this world? How do we separate the ideas in our head? And I think I certainly put things in different boxes. I like to compartmentalize my work. And so, yeah, I would say that certainly, you know, the bird photographs and the ocean photographs, so ornithological photographs and Full Fathom 5, are both, you know, very much rooted in science and biodiversity and climate change and all of those ideas, but also this relationship between a photographic object and a scientific specimen. There's another series that you didn't really mention called The World is Round, which is really my big kind of escape from these typologies that, you know, even the community gardens per se, which are more about social issues than science, sort of in a certain way, you know, the same kind of photo over and over again. And the bird photographs and the coral photographs, definitely, you know, different species of bird, different species of coral, but the same strategy for taking a picture, whereas The World is Round is me more like a mad scientist, where I've got all these weird pots of different photographic materials bubbling away. And, you know, we're at an exciting moment, I think, in photography. Over the past 20 years, some sort of old photographic technology has kind of died, and new technologies are being born. And I think it's a really interesting moment to kind of like squeeze different little bits of new imagery out of these old processes and see where the glitches in these new technologies remain. And so I would say that, you know, in my constant desire to escape dichotomy, there are three parts to my work.
Well, Todd, I'm teaching a class to high school kids in a couple of weeks, and we were sort of talking about where do you start, you know, whether it's art or writing. I love the idea of biology because there's a lot of birds, there's a lot of coral, there's a lot of things, so it gives you sort of a vehicle to pursue. But I also notice on your website this other aspect that you just mentioned that is not just a dichotomy. One of the things that you've just started is photographing reflections and light and shiny things. I love that. That is so open-ended. Tell me about where that came from.
Do you have any images in particular in mind of shiny things that I've been photographing? I'm trying to think of...
It's the one that you just started where you have the list of other people doing arts and reflections.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I've got a couple of projects that are kind of adjacent to my work that I try to welcome a lot of different artists into the Billings community and create community here. And so one of those things is a artist residency program. You know, I also run the gallery at Rocky Mountain College, and then also I've been trying to show more video art around Billings and you know, publishing books, and so. You know, I'm really lucky to teach at an undergraduate liberal arts college, not dissimilar from the one I went to, but also with really cool professional programs like their aviation and equestrian studies program and such at Rocky. But I also kind of like miss the idea of teaching in a graduate program, for example, with more advanced students. And so I think a lot of these projects, like the publication and the artist residency, sort of give me a chance to work with artists more advanced in their careers than undergraduates, and really feed the same way that teaching undergraduates feeds my creativity, building that kind of community and welcoming these other artists into Billings and my home and the Rocky Mountain College campus and the gallery there has been super generative in terms of my own artwork.
So I guess that begs the question, what is the difference between teaching college students and then creating your own work? And how do you wear both those hats? And what's that whole process like for you at Rocky?
Yeah, so, you know, before I'm something of an introvert, and so I mean, my parents are still baffled that I'm a teacher. And before I really dove into the world of teaching, I spent a lot of time working in commercial photography. And after a long day of commercial shoots, I did not want to look at a camera again. And I realized that after a day of teaching students and talking about ideas and showing them the magic of photography or other media, that I was excited to make work, more excited to make work than if I had just, you know, spent the day twiddling my thumbs or something like that. And so, you know, that's to me one of the most rewarding things about being an educator is to have students coming in with fresh ideas, with a totally different set of experiences about the world and amount of knowledge about photography, and kind of seeing how they think about this constantly changing and mutating media that that so much of our everyday communication now happens through. And so I love teaching, and I love my students, mm-hmm. and they challenge me every day in the best ways.
I wonder what percentage would you say, and when you're teaching, what percentage is sort of technical skills and what percentage is more philosophical?
Yeah, I mean, that has really varied from the different institutions I've taught at. Before coming to Rocky, I taught for a decade largely at art colleges and art-specific programs. And so there was much more of an expectation to have those technical skills and teach those technical skills with students. But at Rocky, where 90% of my students are taking a class to fulfill their core curriculum, might be the only studio art class they take in college, it's definitely shifted more towards the philosophical. In fact, three of the classes that I've added to the curriculum focus more on ideas as opposed to the traditional way to teach a class is, oh, this is a photography class, or this is a painting class, or a sculpture class. But with these new classes, it's about the ideas that we can present. So one of them is about art and new technology, another is about art and ecology, and another is about art and the body and identity.
I love that. When I have taught classes, I'm always much more interested in why somebody wants to create, not how to create. So I never like when somebody says, how do I paint a horse? I don't know how to paint a horse. That's never my interest. My interest is, why do you want to paint a horse? So that, and I love the idea that at a liberal art college, and there's fewer and fewer, but thankfully we do have Rocky, where there are opportunities for students that are not art majors to take art. How do you think art helps students overall in their general education?
Yeah, well, to go back on what you were saying about how to draw a horse, which I also cannot do, but you know, that was the very focus on that idea of craftsmanship was a barrier for me as a young person to thinking about myself as an artist. And I think a lot of students at Rocky have felt the same way, and if they didn't have an aptitude for drawing, for example. And so I think a shift in from focusing on, you know, craftsmanship to ideas, and then the craftsmanship can come later, is really valuable. But as I was also mentioning, we live in a world where, you know, we see more images made by people before breakfast than somebody 1,000 years ago saw in their entire lives. And communicating visually and through these new media is so wrapped up in everyday life. And over the past year and a half, especially with the sort of generative AI being able to make a convincing image of almost anything, visual literacy, I think, is so important in any field. And so I think that taking an art class at Rocky will hopefully prepare students to, you know, communicate their ideas. If it's, you know, they're going into the business world, how are they marketing and selling a product? Or if they're just an everyday human, how are they becoming good judges of the images that they're seeing, and they're not falling into the pitfalls of propaganda, which is just so prevalent and so potentially convincing now more than ever.
Absolutely. Todd, in addition to teaching, you have traveled the world. You've been to Mongolia as a Fulbright Fellow, and your work as a photographer has appeared in National Geographic, Wired, Nature, even Cosmopolitan magazine. Tell us about those adventures, and what were some of the more rewarding photographic missions that you've been on?
Oh, gosh, well, yep, Cosmo. As someone who doesn't photograph people, that was quite a shock to be given, have a call from somebody saying that they wanted to use my photographs in Cosmo. I remember walking into the Target at Billings and seeing a picture of Shakira on the cover of Cosmo with, you know, pink script, and, you know, buying five of them at checkout and telling the checkout person, my photos are in here, and them just kind of looking at me like, what is this weird guy talking about? So that was a really strange and rewarding moment. I've been so lucky to have had a lot of exposure and a lot of experiences taking photos and traveling the world to do so, and exhibiting those photos around the world. You know, one of the longest projects I've worked on is a series of photographs of community gardens that I started in 2005 when I moved to Boston and was really living in a big city for the first time and wandered around this 4 acres of community gardens with 400 different plots. And that turned into this sort of global survey of urban and community gardens that took me to Cuba and to Mongolia and all around Japan and all around Europe. And I hope to add a couple of more context to that, but I was really, really surprised last summer when the work was exhibited at the Polish National Museum as part of a large museum exhibition. It's work that I'd sort of toiled away on for 20 years, and very few people seemed very interested in exhibiting it. And to have my largest museum exhibition be this project that I've worked on for so long was so rewarding, especially since so much of the work involved me schlepping a camera on public transportation in strange parts of the world and seeing weird corners of different cities and essentially working on it in solitude to have that big museum show was so cool.
So I want you to come out and photograph my community garden box at Mayflower Church, but I'll need to weed before I let you near my community box.
I would prefer it unweeded, actually. Oh. I remember, I use one of these old large format cameras, so it looks like an accordion, and you go under the dark cloth to take a photograph. And I remember, pulling off the dark cloth once, and there was a woman standing next to me, and she's like, what are you taking this picture of? And I was like, oh, these weeds in that compost bin and stuff like that. And she said, oh, must be one of those art pictures, huh?
Art pictures, right.
Yes, indeed.
Todd, I also know you as an instructor, an artist, and a friend, but you are also involved in the community. And tell us a little bit about the importance of being involved in the community as an artist.
Yeah, I mean, I'm lucky to be on the board at the Yeltsin Art Museum and to run the gallery at Rocky. And I think about all of the opportunities that people gave me over the years in artist residencies and grants, the expertise that I've gained through being involved in the art world for 20 years. And for one thing, it's really rewarding to be able to share that expertise with this community and to bring in some of that outside knowledge. I think it's also really great to create students' opportunities for my students. We have in our museum studies class, the students do an internship at the Yeltsin Art Museum as well as other museums and cultural institutions around the city. So it creates opportunities for students, for other artists, and for the larger community to be challenged by what they're seeing on around Billings.
Interestingly, when I started drawing again, and I hadn't for a long time, I have a degree in painting and sculpture, my first art show was at the Rocky Mountain College Gallery. Jane Deschner was running the gallery at the time. And one of the student interns there, Bjorn Nelson, who is a dear friend of mine, at the time was the a skier and kicked the ball for the field goals for the Rocky Mountain College Bears. The most unlikely person in the world to become a good friend of mine. But there was something about being in a gallery and having somebody not familiar with art being exposed to art. He's become one of the biggest collectors of my work. And it's just sort of an interesting thing. So I'm bringing that up because I keep going back to the idea of how art can influence young people in positive ways. Not that they're going to be artists, but what they can learn from participating in art classes. Tell me what you're teaching this fall.
So I'm teaching three classes this fall. Every semester I teach a photography class, so I'll be teaching that. And then I'm teaching the art and ecology class. And then for the first time ever, I'm going to be teaching the sculpture class, which will be a stretch for me. I'll have to figure out how to not cut my hand off with a table saw and different things like that. But I'm really excited, and that's one of the great things about Rocky's program is that I get to teach so many different classes, and we have a new art historian joining the faculty this fall as well. And then several of the classes are taught by, you know, the painting class is taught by somebody who spends his days painting, and the ceramics class is taught by a ceramicist. So I'm able to bring in those experts within those media to teach those classes and give students, despite the quite small program, offer a huge number of perspectives in terms of art making.
And Todd, as we sort of close our conversation, what is your work? What are you working on now?
Well, right now I am, you know, I've been sort of trying to think of what local project I should work on. And so I've been taking a lot of photographs in the mountains and the prairie and the city of Billings. And, you know, I spent essentially my 20s and 30s traveling. I very rarely lived anywhere for longer than a year, oftentimes jumping from one continent to another. And, you know, photographing gardens all over the world. And now I've been, you know, working on the garden in at my home a little ways west of Rocky's campus. And I'm trying to think of art projects as well that that function on, you know, that think local kind of idea and understand this place that I now call home and have called home for the past 5 years, trying to understand that better through my photography and communicate both to the folks within the region and beyond what this greater Yellowstone ecosystem is all about.
Well, Todd, good luck with all of that. We are lucky to have you in the community, and Rocky Mountain College is lucky to have you as an administrator and artist. We will have more information about your work and a link to that fabulous website that you've created on YP Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. This was really fun, Corby.
Been listening to Resounds, Arts and Culture on the High Plains, produced by Corby Skinner, Jennifer Corning, and Ken Siebert for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music by Alex Nauman. Hear this program anytime online at ypradio.org.